We'll be opening phone lines next hour. If you've had strange slips in time, if you've had deja vu that came true, if you've had precognitive moments, if you have questions for my guest, William Burns or Joel Martin, you can call in. We're also opening up a special line, the Time Traveler line, at 818-817-0021. Join us next hour. If you're a time traveler listening to the show, we want to hear from you. 818-817-0021. That's the official time traveler line for this evening's show. Our guest also with us the last hour and staying with us for a few more minutes, Paul Smith, who spent 20 years as an Army intelligence officer, seven of those years as a remote viewer for the military Stargate remote viewing program. Paul, I'm curious about one thing. Doing remote viewing, you must have a good grasp and understanding of consciousness, how the brain works, the mind works, and how we're able to extend beyond our own ego and id to experience these other things. One phenomena that I'm curious about that I hear time and time again from people are these moments when we are in extreme danger, when time seems to slow to an unbelievable rate. I had an experience about 10, 11 years ago here in Minnesota, driving up Minnesota Route 35 heading north, and it was rush hour. It was icy and snowy. My son sitting next to me in the passenger seat, and our car hit a rough patch of ice, and we began to spin. There's cars rushing past us, and in this moment, which it can't have been more than 3 to 6 seconds, I remember having a very lengthy conversation with my son, and I turned to him, and I said, "I'm so sorry about this." And he said, "Dad, it's okay. It's an accident. Things like this happen." And I said, "But this is going to hurt. I know this is going to be bad." And we carried on this in-depth conversation where he was comforting me. I was telling him how much I loved him. And our car just spun. And we seemed to be going in slow motion as everything else is racing by us. Our car then went down into the ditch and started to come up in the other side of the highway before it eventually came to a standstill. But in that moment, even though everything else seemed to be going at regular or accelerated speeds, what was going on in the confines of our car was at a very slow rate. Do you know anything about that phenomena? Is anything that you could tell us as a remote viewer of what we may have been experiencing at that moment?
Well, there's two possible theories here. Some people might think three, but I think there's only two. The third one would be that the whole rest of the world slowed down so that you could keep track of what was happening. That seems a little, egocentric to think the world slowed down because you were in trouble, right?
Right.
So I seriously doubt that theory. The second one is that somehow you were speeded up. There's two versions of that. The first one was temporally, where somehow your time reference changed. You were going faster than normal, and therefore your perception of if things were unfolding would be that the world slowed down, right? I can't rule that out. I don't know how, if the science could determine such things would happen. It seemed impossible to know one way or the other. You'd get, of course, mainstream scientists who'd reject the idea altogether, but I wouldn't be so hasty. I mean, it could be a possible explanation. The one science would give you is actually sort of a version of that, except in this case, what gets speeded up is your perceptual window. Normally, we have a certain pace at which we perceive the world, and that matches what's happening in the world. But in moments of severe stress, our perceptual mechanism speeds up, and we have a much shorter window of perception so that we are seeing things more closely to how they actually happen. We were talking about present and past earlier. The fact is there's no such thing as the present. What there is the very recent past, right? Because we have this consciousness window, perceptual window, roughly a tenth of a second. And so what you're hearing right now as I'm speaking is something that I've said actually a tenth of a second ago, right? But when we get in these high-stress situations, that consciousness window shrinks, that perception window shrinks, and so we perceive things much more quickly than we normally do. And a scientist would say that's what's happening in that setting. So your perception is much quicker, therefore the world seems to be going slower. Which is it? Are you actually going faster, or are you just perceiving faster? I don't have the answer to that, but I think it's an interesting thing to think about.
Well, there's also a neurological component to that too, Paul, right? Because what happens is we have this whole other neurological system, which basically is the fight-or-flight reaction. It's fear or aggression, and that's part of our animal brains. And so it's the autonomic nervous system, which operates almost independently from our rational nervous system. So what happens is that window you're talking about, the perception window, the reticulum, closes down, and literally the flood of adrenaline distorts all perception. So it's almost as though you're having missing time without having missing time, because you completely don't realize what's going on around you, and you're dealing only with the present because you're in such a panic. And so that there's also that neurological component to it.
Well, Bill,
we're talking about the same thing, but you just said it. You just gave it the more complicated explanation.
I always do.
isn't the scientific view of déjà vu? Which, you know, I know, Joel, you talked a little bit earlier about possibilities with deja vu and how clear and concise they are. Some people will remember deja vu as though it was a dream that they'd had before that they're now realizing. But as we know that our brain works in that buffer mode, almost like a CD player that has the skip mode. It's always playing a tenth or, you know, a quarter of a second ahead of time, so that when you hit that skip, it's already memorized that gap that you're missing. Doesn't science look at deja vu as that same way, that all that happened is there was a hiccup in our buffer system and we actually experienced it before our consciousness acknowledges it? So it wasn't really a missing time or a moment that we've already relived, but it was something that our consciousness took awareness of before it normally would.
Yeah, that's a theory. That's as plausible as any other theory, of course. Sure.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us this evening, Paul, and sharing your insights on this. Certainly intriguing, and certainly working in a remote viewing program like you've done, and serving the country and you know, providing intel. I appreciate what you're doing. And if people are interested in learning more about remote viewing and learning this for themselves, you said anybody can do this, correct?
Pretty much. It's like any other human skill. The vast majority of people can learn it, and the ones who can't have probably got some kind of disability or whatever, you know. So,
all right.
And about essentially everybody can learn it.
And they can find more information by visiting you on your website and becoming a student of remote viewing at rviewer.com?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. And again, that's R, the letter R, viewer.com. And I believe they'll be putting links up to this on the Coast to Coast AM website, so check it out there. Hey, this is your time. If you haven't already joined, become a Coast Insider. If you've missed any part of tonight's show, you can travel back in time, and it's very easy to do. Go to Coast to Coast AM, click on the Insider link there, and you'll find more information on how you can join up and find 5 years of past shows. You'll get a chance to travel in time through our archives here at Coast to Coast AM. You'll also get unprecedented access to the news that you hear here. You'll also get a chance to be a part of live chats with the hosts of Coast to Coast, including George Norrie, and some of the most fascinating guests. Check it out at Coast to Coast AM. Click on the Insider tab. When we come back, parallel universes, alternate realities. Do these exist? What about UFOs? Are they really alien invaders, or are they us from the future? We'll talk with our guests. We've got William J. Burns and Joel Martin for the remainder of tonight's show. And remember, in the fourth hour, we're opening up phone lines so you can call in with your own experiences, your questions, and we're opening up the Time Traveler Hotline, 1-818-817-0021. If there's time travelers listening to tonight's show that have a unique perspective they'd like to share, 818-817-0021. That's the number to be a part of our show in the fourth hour, right here on Coast to Coast AM. A strange man arrived in Tokyo in 1954 with a passport from a country that did not exist, called Torrid. Japanese custom officials detained the man, but his passport was not a fake. It had all the proper stamps, was issued by the country of Torrid, and even included Japanese stamps from a previous visit. The man swore that Torrid was a European country that had existed for over 1,000 years. He also held other papers, such as bank statements, with the country's name on them. After several hours, customs officials eventually placed the man in a hotel with security nearby to ensure that he did not leave his room while they checked things out. The next morning, he was gone. No trace. A manhunt ensued, but there was no point. He had simply vanished. Is this a parallel universe? Did he bleed over? Was there a moment in time where someone was able to traverse from one universe or one reality into another? Our guest this evening for the remainder of the show, William J. Burns, the New York Times bestselling co-author of The Day After Roswell. He's also the star of History Channel's UFO Hunters, Ancient Aliens, and Unsealed: The Conspiracy Files. He's appeared on Good Morning America, Larry King Live, The Howard Stern Show, and as a regular contributor to Coast AM, and my own show, Darkness Radio. You can find more information about Bill Burns at ufomag.com. Also with us, Joel Martin, a nationally recognized paranormal expert and best-selling author. Since the early 1970s, Joel has been a radio talk show host, and as a TV talk show host, he won the Cable Ace Award. As an investigative reporter about the paranormal and psychic phenomena, he discovered internationally renowned medium George Anderson and exposed the Amityville Horror as a hoax. Joel is also a network TV consultant about the paranormal and has made many TV appearances. You can find more information about his work at spiritualtruth.com. Again, that's spiritualtruth.com. Bill, let me ask you, UFOs throughout history have been seen and witnessed prior to and immediately following some amazing times in our history. The one that jumps to mind, UFOs were viewed in the city of New York just prior to 9/11. How about right after the Pope, Pope John Paul had passed away, when they were releasing the smoke for the release of the information of the new Pope in restricted airspace over Vatican City? I believe it was MSNBC or CNN had footage of a craft hovering above Vatican City that was not any type of military craft, and certainly drew the attention of people worldwide when they saw this footage. Do you believe that some alien craft, some of these unidentified flying objects, may be ourselves, future historians coming back to actually watch the future unfold and maybe get it right for once? Or do you think that there is no correlation between time travel and UFOs and alien contact?
Well, I think there is certainly a correlation between time travel and UFOs and alien contact. If you think that if one thinks, one of the big arguments trying to debunk UFOs is that if you're looking at a craft traveling hundreds, millions of light years across the universe just to visit planet Earth, what would their propulsion system be? I mean, how could they do that? Well, one of the answers that came out of the whole Bob Lazar experience at Area 51 was that the propulsion systems for UFOs don't allow them to travel through space. They bring space and time through the UFO. So in other words, you're in a craft, and instead of moving forward, forward is moving through you. And so time stops being relevant, because it's almost as though you're teleporting yourself, because you're sucking time and space around you. And one of the experiments that was done at Area 51, Bob Lazar, they were explaining to Bob Lazar, demonstrating to him one of the features of the UFO propulsion, because he was their consultant. And so they showed him a room. The room was closed, but he was looking through a window, and in the window there was a flickering candle. And suddenly the candle stopped flickering. And one of the things Bob said was, how did you stop the candle from flickering? And they said, we didn't. It's still flickering. Only the propulsion system that we're talking about has made it seem as though time had stopped. And we've seen this over and over again in some of the cases we explored on UFO Hunters, where the radios in police cars and the engines in police cars, when a UFO flying triangle would fly overhead, the car would shut down. And when the UFO passed overhead, the engine would start up again. And one of the things that always struck me as odd was gasoline engines don't just start up again from nothing. You have to turn the key and restart them, send the spark through. Well, the engines never shut down. The person in the car or standing by the car was experiencing that time warp as the UFO passed over. So, yes, absolutely, there's a correlation between time travel and the propulsion for UFOs.
It's interesting you bring that topic up as well, Bill, because how many times we've heard UFO experiencers that will say that when they witness the craft, there's no sound, even the sound of the neighborhood, crickets, bugs, whatever, birds, everything seems to cease to exist. So what you're bringing up is it may not actually cease. You're kind of immersed in your own pocket of time as you're witnessing this experience.
Exactly. And another example comes right here from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. There were a series of UFO sightings in end of 2008, early 2009, one of which took place over Levittown. And this woman, this property owner in Levittown, Pennsylvania, was seeing this craft hovering over her property, slowly moved across over her backyard. It was very low to the ground. And it was flashing, it wasn't flashing, it was dropping a beam on over the ground as if it were searching for something. And she's out there, she let the dog out at night, and she's watching this thing. She's fascinated by it. And this beam hits a bush that was right by her house. Now, this is March, and the bush was just about to come into bloom. It was young. It was verdant. It was just about to explode with blossoms. It was a warm spring. And the next morning when she looked at it, half the bush where the beam had hit it had died of age. It was brown. It had actually aged and died. And her experience was she thought she was out there for maybe like 15 minutes just letting the dog do its stuff. She was actually out there for well over an hour and a half, and she couldn't account for that time. There was no abduction experience, no worries about being on board a spacecraft, but her entire perception of time had stopped. And that's what I mean by temporal distortion.
Joel, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but it reminds me of some of the material I've heard from the late Bud Hopkins about missing time. Does any of that make any sense in connection with this?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. I think you're right. I mean, and when you talk about temporal distortion, Joe, you told the story of Abraham Lincoln's precognition. And this goes back to what Paul Smith is talking about. One of the fascinating things, I mean, we've written about this, but basically this was your story in Haunting of the Presidents, where you mentioned how many precognitive events Abraham Lincoln had of his own death, and yet he went to the Ford Theater that night when Mr. and Mrs. Grant, General and Mrs. Grant, having the same precognition, didn't go to that theater.
That's exactly right. Mrs. Grant absolutely had a premonition or precognitive experience that there would be grave danger to her husband, General Grant, if they went to Ford Theater. And so they did not go. The Lincolns, of course, had the premonition. He had that very strong precognitive dream that he'd be assassinated, and yet he went. That's an excellent example. Similar experience with two different people, you know, two couples, and yet one follows ahead as a fatalist, and the other uses it as a caution and is fine. It's one of the most interesting stories in American history, I think, absolutely.
Well, that kind of fits in with the deja vu phenomena. How many of us have experienced a moment of deja vu where we almost feel compelled to not go into action as we watch the exact same things unfold and unfurl before us? And then there are other times when we seem moved to action to purposely change the direction of what that deja vu moment meant to us in the past. What does that mean? We're going to talk with our guests and Joel Martin when we return about near-death experiences, a strange phenomena that I've noticed that I've talked about on Darkness Radio over the last few years, a phenomena we call Who Brought Kirk Douglas Back from the Dead? Is this a form of time travel? Is it experiencing paranormal or alternate universes and alternate timelines? We'll talk with our guests about that when we return. I'm your host for the evening, Dave Schrader, and you're listening to the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM. Much of the phenomena that we cover on Coast to Coast AM and on my show, Darkness Radio, Bigfoot, ghosts, UFOs, do they all fit under one topic? Are we dealing with nothing more than parallel universes, alternate realities? Are timelines bleeding through one another? A phenomenon that we've talked about on Darkness Radio for the last two or three years is false memories, near-death experiences, and how they tie together with the possibility of alternate timelines. Are we gifted with one full lifespan? Are we allowed to live that one full long life that has always been promised to us? But maybe not in the linear form. Maybe it isn't birth to death as we would expect it to be. Maybe we get that full, rich life. But each moment in our time where maybe we were a little too lucky, maybe that moment when we should have checked out, we did. And our consciousness just simply took a jump to the left and then a step to the right. And we did a little time travel right there. We did a little change in paradigms in alternate realities. These false memories that many people have, we get stories from around the world, which are staggering. People that will have a very, very detailed memory of something like the death of a celebrity. We've talked about it on our show. Who brought Kirk Douglas back from the dead? I remember vividly in the 1980s, the death of Kirk Douglas shortly after he suffered a major stroke. I remember the news coverage. I remember Michael Douglas talking about this moment in his father's legacy. Well, Kirk Douglas is still very much alive. I've heard similar instances from listeners around the globe who have very detailed memories, and I can read these memories and I could pair these stories up one by one from different people that do not know each other, but yet their recollection of these moments are identical. The one common thread, many of these people have had near-death experiences. Joel Martin will talk to us about near-death experiences. That tunnel of light we travel through, is it a wormhole? Is it our consciousness leaving one reality and going to another? Let's talk about the different hypotheses, theories, and beliefs as we continue the show this evening. William J. Burns, Joel Martin, my guests, here on Coast to Coast AM. When I decided to do this show, I reached out to William Burns, one of my favorite guests on Darkness Radio, and I know a favorite here on Coast to Coast AM. This guy has got his hands in every department. He knows his stuff. And as we were talking about this, and I talked to him a little about my theory, he said, we definitely need to include my partner on a few of my books, Joel Martin. He has some insights into near-death experiences that might help shed some light on this. When you and I had a chance to kind of talk about the theory I just threw out there and proposed, the idea that as maybe one timeline for us closes, our consciousness makes a leap to the next to continue our journey, which would, you know, leave behind these flutters of false memories. How does that resonate with you? I mean, does that sound like a possibility to you, or is this something that's maybe even outside your realm of belief?
No, I've always had this theory about that, it's kind of a spooky theory. I even talked about it with Paul Smith years ago, and Joel too. And it was this, that what if our perception of time is unique to us? So that really, what is time? First of all, time is a construct of matter. No, if there's no matter, there's no time because there's no decay. So it is a perception that each individual has, and each individual may have a different perception of time from another individual. But what if, this is where it gets scary, what if we really are in a big bang, a big expansion, and then a big collapse? And you really wouldn't know from your perception of time where you are. So timelines are always changing. So you may have memories of something that happened in the past that in this timeline are false memory, but in your own personal perception of time are absolutely real. And you can't tell which is real and which is false. And so you have a decision about what to act on. So, I mean, it sounds like a crazy theory, but I really do believe that people are involved in a kind of a temporal switch track where the timeline changes, but you won't know it, except you'll have these strange memories of things that you think happened in the past, but when you go to examine them, really didn't, because they're not in that timeline. And the near-death experience, and Joe's the expert, there's nobody else on this planet knows more about this and has studied more about this than Joel, but the near-death experience may be that passageway between different timelines. And when you return, you're returning to a different timeline.
Joel, what is your take on this kind of phenomenon? Do you believe that that could be part of what we understand is people talk about time travel and physicists look at it and say the probability and possibility would need some form of wormhole. Near-death experiences always seem to have this long trek through a dark tunnel with a light at the end, almost like a wormhole type feel to it. And then these strange memories, these moments when we're told it's not our time and we need to go back. Does it necessarily mean we go back to the life we just left, or do we get to continue in an alternate line?
Well, you typically go through a tunnel and you typically are drawn to a light. And you see people or some image of somebody at the end of that light, and you're out of your body, of course, and whatever pain you had in the human body is, or the physical body, is now gone. And now all of a sudden you see your favorite uncle or maybe mom or dad or some other loved one that you missed dearly, and there they all are. And they usually are telling you, it's not time. You got more to do on Earth. In essence, that's what they're saying. And they kind of encourage you to go back. You don't have to, but you're drawn back. It's almost like some kind of a suction cup action. You don't stay. You go back because that's what you're supposed to do. Back meaning here. And eventually you have the feeling that you will be seeing them again. And for the great majority of people, it is a very comforting experience, really comforting. You'll never convince an atheist or a humanist that this is a genuine experience, yet it falls in line with many religious beliefs, and it has in the past a decade or more fallen also in favor with many of the scientists around the world. There's a study done by scientists in Scandinavia, in England. It's a universal experience, in other words. I've read it in Nature magazine. I've read it in scientific journals in this country. And thank you, Bill, for the compliment. But there's nothing more I know than probably other people who've had the experiences, except that there is no question it is some consciousness of us or about us that is leaving the human body. I mean, we are definitely at some point leaving our bodies, because what else would explain somebody saying when they've come back, I saw the doctor had a freckle on the top of his head right near his bald spot. I saw papers on top of a cabinet, and they were blue and they were orange, they were red, whatever. In other words, you see things that you could not possibly see from the line of sight that you would have if you were sitting or standing as a normal physical being. It's as if you're flying. It's as if you're moving someplace high above. Now, how is that possible? It's possible if we are leaving our bodies and there is some consciousness that's leaving. You can call it the soul. You can call it the spirit. It's a matter of what your choice is. But clearly something happens, and almost without question, I've interviewed so many people about this. They will tell you that there was no pain. I interviewed one a gentleman who is in one of the books that I wrote, or books that I wrote, and he was in Vietnam, and he was blown to bits with shrapnel. I mean, absolutely horrendous. How he lived through that pain and suffering, I will never understand. I met him only after he gave me his story, and we included it in the book. And he only has the use of one hand, and he's scarred in other parts of his body. But his mental spirit is very good. But he said when he was really suffering in pain on the battlefield, he felt himself rise out of his body, saw the tops of the trees, saw the battle below him as if he was watching it from maybe a helicopter or a high-rise building. And as he moved on to the lights, through that tunnel, there was his grandmother. And his grandmother was saying, "You've got to go back, Chuck. You've got to go back." And he said, but I'm in no pain now. I don't want to go back. "Go back, Chuck. It's not time. We'll be together, but not yet." Now, does that suggest that it's the same being? Is it another consciousness? Is it, you know, you can take almost any theory you want, but they all come down to those kinds of stories. And there are way too many of them in the millions for them to be called anecdotal. That is a word that I don't like, and I've heard it applied to these, but they're not anecdotal. You've got millions of them.
Well, and it's fascinating to me that some of these people that come back after they've been lost in death, they come back and things have changed about their personality, their favorite foods, things that they can't stand, which again makes me wonder, does our consciousness leave? Did in that timeline, did that body, that meat shell run out and the consciousness moved over? And in the next timeline, that accident happened, but he survived it. And that consciousness comes together with the consciousness that already existed, which gives us the reason of remembering two different variances, but having different tastes, different personality traits, and slightly different, you know, actions and reactions to things that we might not have done before.
Absolutely. Well, look at the story of Bill Clinton. I mean, Bill Clinton had multiple bypass surgery. He had serious, serious heart surgery. They had to stop his heart. And Bill Clinton openly talks about the fact that during the operation, he perceived himself very consciously floating above the operating table. He could look down on himself. He could see the surgeons working on him. He could hear the conversations going on. And now Bill Clinton is the head of a foundation that literally is working for the betterment of humanity. So look at that transition from President of the United States to President of the world, but in between was this basically a near-death experience.
Yeah, great example. Yeah, that is exactly the kind of thing we're talking about. And in most cases, people come back from those experiences better than they were before. In other words, they're more understanding. They appreciate life more. They have less fear of death. They're more tolerant of others. They don't get annoyed at things that are small. They see a larger picture. There are people who've had honestly negative experiences, but in most cases, they are positive and life-affirming and help a great deal. And that Bill Clinton story is exactly as Bill just told it. And
we had a listener that chimed in with us a few years ago when we were talking about this phenomenon and the possibilities and these false memories. And it's easy to attribute a lot of them to the celebrities because celebrities stand out above other deaths and things that the world wouldn't take notice of. But this woman had contacted me and she said, "I'm so glad you covered this on your show because I had an experience." She goes, "I'm the one in our office who is the one that will go get the sympathy cards and, you know, the get well quick cards and things like that." She said, and, you know, one of my employees, one of the coworkers came in and was very excited. She was pregnant and they, you know, she had a big buzz going on about it. And she goes, and at one point, you know, after about a month, month and a half, I just asked her, I said, are you very comfortable this time? Do you have any concerns or worries? And she said, "No, why would I?" And she said, "Well, having lost the baby last time," and she turned to her and said, "I've never been pregnant. This is my first pregnancy." And she said, "No, you lost a baby 2 years ago. I was the one that bought the sympathy card. I went around and had everybody in the office sign it." And she said, "No, this is my first pregnancy. This is the first time I've ever had this happen." And she said, "I thought I was going insane." She goes, "But I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'd been in the situation and that in the past she had lost a child." And again, I start talking to people that have had these vivid false memories and find out that most every one of them that have had this can track back in their life at least one, if not multiple moments when they should have died. They may not have had as profound a near-death experience where they went through the tunnel and had these moments or floated above their body, but a moment when they thought, "I shouldn't have survived that." And it very well may have been the ending of that reality for them, and they leapt over to the next consciousness level. And
that makes a lot of sense. And in my own life, personally, without belaboring it, I've had something like that happen, and almost down to the exact detail you've just given. So, yes, I absolutely, no argument, I absolutely agree, because it's happened to me. I think, frankly, that we have many, many of us have many more experiences of a paranormal nature than we wish to admit or wish to recognize or perhaps don't recognize. I have what I call my opera theory. I despise opera. I was raised with classical music and opera, and I can't make any sense out of it. It just sounds like noise to me. I mean, it absolutely does. If you give me good old Canadian folk rock or a nice southern blues, I understand that, but not the opera. But there are people who go to the opera, and my father too was like that. He loved it. He could pick out every note. It was subtle and it was beautiful and it was a dream. And that's my opera theory applies to the paranormal. I think that we all have experiences, if not all, nearly all of us, paranormal experiences, but we ignore them or don't recognize them, and they're just that much noise or coincidence. Oh, I saw a light. That doesn't mean anything. I'll let it go. And there are other people who are wise enough or sensitive enough to say, oh, my God, that was not my imagination. My grandma died 19 years ago. That was my grandma sitting right there across the table. And it's a matter of how we are trained, how we're developed, how we're sensitized. Unfortunately, in the American culture, we have tended to raise our children in a way to suggest that this is all, it's imagination. It's hallucination. It didn't happen.
And isn't it funny, though? You have this now with the glut of paranormal programming that's on, from UFOs to Bigfoot to ghost hunter shows that are everywhere. We talk about the paranormal and ghosts and hauntings, which I always think, I don't know that we're necessarily dealing with or talking to the dead in the sense that we expect, like grandma's dead spirit is back revisiting us. Because you hear these stories of, it's really weird. Grandma and grandpa built this house on a plot of land. It's not an ancient Indian burial ground. It was a cornfield. They built this house. Yet one day, grandma's sitting there watching Jeopardy. And in these three shadowy figures walk in, stop in front of her chair, turn, and then run out. And there becomes the story of grandma's haunted house. Lo and behold, 20 years later, grandma passes away, and me and my two buddies walk into the living room, and there's grandma sitting in the recliner in front of the TV set at the time of Jeopardy. We see this ghost. We turn tail and run. Now, who's haunting who? Was that a moment, a time slip? This wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey ball of, stuff that just happens to coalesce, and we see through those threadbare moments in time.
Yep.
Are ghosts nothing more than just looking through the window between
Probably
existences?
So. My one experience seeing a ghost is pretty much as you just described it. I've had one experience in my whole life, 40 years of doing this research since I'm a kid, and my one experience happened in about 1995, 96.
Well, let's hear it when we come back, Joel. We've got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll hear Joel's experience with the paranormal and seeing a ghost. We're also opening up phone lines to you. Give us a call if you've had experiences you'd like to chat about or questions for our guests. And we're opening up the time traveler line right now, 818-817-0021. If you're a time traveler listening to the show right now and you have insights, 818-817-0021. Call and be a part of our show. This is the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM.